history. Your mercy covers me.
This morning I want to speak on the subject, Mary had a little lamb. Don't you remember that from your childhood? Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, that lamb was sure to go. Everybody remembers it. And here we are at this Christmas time. Now, of course, for the purists, we want to say immediately that we don't believe that Jesus was born on the 25th of December. But I do believe this is the time that the church is celebrating that birth. Although we celebrate it all year, there's nothing wrong with saying, okay, we're going to remember in a special way that event. Some of my brothers say we would have nothing to do with it because it's Christmas. The Mass of Christ. And fair enough, I respect that. We don't need any Mass for Christ. But however, the word Mass can also mean celebration. The celebration of Christ. The word Mass can also is derived from to sending. As this could be the sending of Christ. That he's sent from heaven. So I'm not going to get too tied up with all those things. That's not the hill I choose to die on. If you don't want to celebrate Christmas, don't celebrate it. If you do want to, do it. And don't inflict, I'm not going to inflict my view on you, and you don't on me. And you're free, and you've got a conscience before God to do as you believe the Lord is leading you. But the good news of Christmas, if we are going to allow ourselves to call this time of the year Christmas, celebration of Christ, that's in the midst of the darkness that dominated the world, there came a light, and the darkness was not able to overcome the light. The light, the true light, came into this world. It wasn't just a temporary flicker of a light. It was an eternal flame. And that we need to remember, listen to me, we need to remember that there are times in the events of this world and even in our personal lives that we feel that the light will be snuffed out. It can't be. It can't be. It's an eternal flame. The Lord has come and he will triumph. He is not in retreat. He is, yes, his people are being killed. Yes, his people are being slaughtered. And they're going to their deaths singing hymns, singing psalms. I've read about it from the ISIS. The ISIS people are killing them and they're confessing Christ and they won't turn back. Do you not think God's in control? He's in control. We don't understand the script sometimes, but he's in control. And no matter what happens, Christmas tells me that the light is still going to shine because he came here and he became one of us, and he didn't do that to be defeated. Somebody say amen. So the title of this morning's message is Mary Had a Little Lamb. I want again to look at the little lamb, the Lord Jesus. And our scripture is Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. We read this already this morning, but we'll read it again. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was in this wise. That simply means this is the way it was. This is what happened. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found of child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately, or privily. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Beautiful. Beautiful. So here's the story. Here's what we've just read. Joseph is engaged to a young Jewish maiden, a virgin girl called Mary. They are betrothed. Now, in the Hebrew custom, that meant that they were legally married, but they weren't living together. They weren't having sex together. And so, and during this time then, Joseph, word comes to him that Mary is pregnant. Can you imagine the devastation he'd have felt? I've often thought about Joseph, because Mary, you've got to remember this, Mary was a wonderful woman. She was an incredible woman, incredibly pure young girl. And word comes that she's pregnant. Well, what's the man to think? Joseph knows he's not the father. And so he believes that Mary has been unfaithful to him, and so he decides to get a divorce. You can see that, verses 18 to 19, but you can check it out. But he loves Mary. And so he decides, look, I'm going to do this privately, quietly. I'm not going to make a song and a dance about it. Because, you see, if she had shown up pregnant, she was subject to the death penalty by stoning. That's how severe it was back then. So he says, I don't want there to be people to be throwing rocks at her and killing her. So he's going to, divorce her quietly. But before he gets his plan into action, God sends an angel to tell him that things aren't the way they seem to be. They're not what he thinks they are. He tells Joseph that Mary is carrying a child that was miraculously fathered by God, the Holy Spirit. And this is a special child set apart with a mission. In fact, this is the Savior who will save his people from their sins. And so Joseph's reaction is, well, according to the angel, marry her. So he marries her. And they have no sex until the baby, Jesus, is born. And that's why we call her the Virgin Mary. Now, by the way, she is not the perpetual Virgin Mary. That's an impossibility, physically. But she was for the birth of Christ. And so Mary eventually delivers this child, and when she did, the Lamb of God is born. And in one of the greatest stories of the Scripture, we learn the truth that Mary had a little lamb. Hey, somebody, I heard it once. I don't know who said it, but where else would you expect a lamb to be born but in a stable? In a manger? Isn't that lovely? Yeah, Mary had a little lamb. And I want to speak about that little lamb, about as he grew up and some of his characteristics. None of this will be particularly new. I'm not trying to build a church that has people craving new things all the time. You know what is the newest thing I've ever heard? That God came to this world. And he lived for me, and he died for me, and he rose again for me. That's new. That really is new. I can never cease to hear enough about that, about Jesus. Tell me the old story of Jesus. And so, let's look this morning and see how special he is. Did you know that there was no one ever like the Lord Jesus? I said there was no one ever like the Lord Jesus. His conception, for a start, his conception sets him apart. Jesus had no human father. Now that sets him apart. Do you, everybody that you know, yourself included, has a father. There's some people never meet their father. Their father dies, their father leaves, their father whatever. Some people don't know who their father is. But every human being has a father. Jesus, however, didn't have a human father. His father was God. That's fantastic. It's amazing. And he's born to a virgin. She's never had intercourse. She's a virgin. He doesn't have a human father. This is a remarkable story. This is incredible. I mean, I was saying at the beginning, you know, when we were reading this, like, this gets relegated to the realm of the babyish. This is not babyish. This is depth. Can you explain it, Brother Miles? No, I can't explain it. That her egg is fertilized by God. Could you explain that? No. Could you explain that the Almighty is an embryo and growing? No, I can't. It's stunning. I've been meditating on this all week, and I'm more overwhelmed than ever. It's totally amazing. Here he is. What a remarkable birth. Jesus is the one who, when he was born, was older than his mother. Jesus is the one who, when he was born, was the same age as his father. Have you ever heard anything like it? He is amazing, isn't he? He's wonderful. And so now we all know the traditional method by which babies are conceived and brought into this world. However, his mother, she didn't have it that way. She was a virgin. And of course, this all fulfills a prophecy of Isaiah 7 and verse 14. Isaiah 7 and 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Who said that? Isaiah. Did he live at the same time as Jesus? No. Hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus appeared, he prophesied this. And all these smart boys run around and say that the Bible's not true. What do they know? How do you explain this? Hundreds of years before he comes, he says, before Jesus is born, he says, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Hallelujah. You know, the virgin birth is an essential doctrine. Let me tell you this, there's a lot of rascals who don't believe in the virgin birth. And I don't mind them not believing in it, but they write their works and they guffaw the whole thing, and they're smarter than the Bible, according to them anyway. Listen, if there's no virgin birth, we do not have a sinless Savior. It's as simple as that. We have, therefore, if Jesus wasn't sinless, we have no hope of salvation. But God fertilized Mary's egg. Joseph didn't. And Jesus thus avoids the sin nature that comes with the human race. He's born of God. He's born sinless. Mary was a virgin when she conceived, and the Hebrew word is Alma. See this word, behold, an Alma shall conceive. Oops. And so that's the opponents of the virgin birth say, well, that simply means a young woman. That's all it means. Oh, yes? Is that all it means? Did you know that word is only used 7 times in the Old Testament, and every single reference is towards a virgin girl? Alma is virgin, and that's what the Bible says she was. And the 7 occurrences of Alma throughout the Hebrew Scripture, the word refers to a maiden. The word never refers to someone who is not a virgin. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. There's an old boy I sometimes read after. His name is Dr. Henry Morrison. He said, many critics have argued that the Hebrew word means simply young unmarried woman rather than virgin. And some, listen to me, some modern Bible translations have replaced virgin with young woman. And that's why I'm not one. That's one of the many reasons I'm not big into them. Not all of them, but. And so, well, If you say she was just a young woman, then you have no virgin birth. If you have no virgin birth, then you have a sinful Savior. If you have a sinful Savior, you have no Savior. There is no Savior. There's no salvation. You're lost. I'm lost if there's no virgin birth. Morris says again, seven times in the Old Testament, in all its instances of use, the context favors its rendering as a virgin. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. And by the way, did you see this? It says that he shall give you a sign. What in the name of thunder would be the sign of the girl getting pregnant? That's no sign. Sure, girls are getting pregnant all the time. I mean, that's why we have the world continuing since those days. People get pregnant. That's no sign. But he says, I'll give you a sign. Do you want a sign? Not that a wee girl gets pregnant. Here's a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Wow. The virgin birth. I am astonished by that. Once upon a time in a children's Sunday school class, the teacher asked them to draw a picture of the nativity scene, you know, the Christmas scene. And one wee boy, he drew the manger, and he drew the stable, and he drew Mary, and he drew Joseph, and he drew the baby Jesus, and he drew the shepherds, and he drew the wise men. But he also drew a strange-looking fat man. And yes, as the teacher, I understand, that's Mary, that's the wise man, there's the cows. So who is this fat man? And the wee boy says, teacher, well, that's John. John, in the Bible story, John. Yes, teacher. The wee boy says, look, and you know that look that kids will give adults like they're daft, you know. I said, come on, you know, John. Tell me. He says, well, you know the song. We just sang it. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round John Virgin. Well, let me tell you, the virgin was not called John. The virgin was called Mary. And she bore a son. And so Christ's conception sets him apart. Not only does his conception set him apart, the Lord Jesus is set apart by his conduct. And from the day that Jesus came into the world until the day that he ascended back into heaven, he came as a person with very special characteristics. Look at his miracles. He could feed the multitudes. He could open blind eyes. He could heal the sick. He could raise people from the dead. You know, walking in water posed no problem for him. Not a bother. Get out there. Walk in the water. No problem. His voice could still a raging storm. And everything he did marked him as being unique, marked him as being special. Not only his miracles set him apart, his message set him apart. When he opened his mouth, people marveled at the things he said. Consider Luke 4 and verse 22. And before we get there, do you remember he astonished people by what he said at 12 years old, all the doctors in the temple? Look at Luke 4, verse 22. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, isn't this not Joseph's son? Oh, yes, his words set him apart. He amazed crowds when he spoke. There'd never been another like Jesus, and there never will be, and he is one of a kind. Mary's little lamb was truly set apart from all others. But not only his speaking set him apart. Are you ready for this? His claims set him apart. And did you know about Jesus? He never was shy about telling people who he was. Beloved, may we have the same spirit. May we never be shy about telling people who he is. Really. His claims set him apart. Well, what claims were so offensive? Now, I'll tell you this. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. John 10 and verse 36. Well, this is only one of the many examples. He said, I'm the Son of God. Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I'm the Son of God. Now, I'm going to give you what I think. I part company with some people here. But every time he was saying, I'm the Son of God, he was simply saying, I'm not the son of Joseph. I'm not the son of Joseph. Jesus believed in the virgin birth. God is my Father. I'm unique. God is my Father. This human that you see and walk and run was fathered by God. I'm not Joseph's son. People supposed him to be the son of Joseph. But more than that, Jesus claimed to be God. This again, I continue to worship because I'm stunned by Jesus. How about you? Does Jesus stun you? Or do you know it all? Do you understand it all? Well, here, I don't even understand justification by grace through faith. I've preached it for years. I've written on it. But it's all new to me. It's amazing. Only scratching the surface of it. And that's the way it is with the deity of Christ. John 14, verse 9. Look at this. Look at some of these claims. Don't have to take it from me. John 14, verse 9. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long a time with you, yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say that? Show us the Father. John 8:58. Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say, before Abraham was, I am. You've heard me preach on this. I am the covenant name of Yahweh. Before Abraham was, I am. Direct claim to being God. Don't let these rascals tell you Jesus never said he was God. John 10, verse 30. I and my Father are one. Would you say that? Do you see every thought the Father thinks I think? Every impulse that the Father has is my impulse. Could you say that? I couldn't say that. Wish I could. But then I'd be God, wouldn't I? And so, this claim offended the Jews even more than them saying he was the Son of God. He was telling them that he is eternal. He's telling them that he was their God. If he's God, and Israel said there's one God then, Jesus, when he says, before Abraham was, I am, he's looking them straight in the face and says, I am your God. Oh, it's no wonder they engineered this execution. We don't want that man. Goodness, that's too uncomfortable. I'd like a God who's out there somewhere and creating a universe. I don't want a personal God looking me in the eyes and asking me about my heart. Wow. Oh, Mary had a little lamb. He was human. And he was divine. Never was anyone like him before, never will be. Because Mary's little lamb was the sacrificial lamb. He came into this world for one serious, major purpose. Did you know it wasn't his principal purpose to walk on water? It wasn't his principal purpose to heal the sick folks? Oh, yes, he did that. It wasn't his principal purpose to open blind eyes, and I'm glad he did that, but it wasn't his principal purpose to calm the storms. Well, these were signs which would identify him. Well, what was his principal purpose then? I'll tell you what his principal purpose was. His principal purpose was coming here to die and to rise from the dead and save his people from their sins. as we read in the scripture. He came to be the sacrificial lamb. The whole of Judaism was based upon sacrificial lambs, lambs being slaughtered all the time. And Jesus says in Luke 19 and verse 10 that he has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And if he has come to seek and to save that which was lost, there has to be a price paid. For without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. He has to pay a price of shedding his blood if he's going to save you. If he's going to save you, he came here to die for his people. Now, I want to tell you a few things about him. This is not news to you, but it has to be said again. Jesus was the spotless lamb. Any lamb to be offered for sacrifice had to be without blemish. You can see that in many scriptures, but take a look at Numbers 28 and verse 9. Without blemish. If the lamb was, it had to be examined on the Sabbath day, two lambs of the first year without spot, two dense deals of flour for a meat offering mingled with oil and the drink offering thereof. It has to be a spotless lamb, a perfect lamb, a sinless lamb. If an animal was impure or deformed, it was not qualified. The lamb had to be a perfect specimen. Jesus had to be without spot or blemish. He is the sinless Son of God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, you know the scripture so well, for he who did no sin, or for he has made him to be sin, for us who knew no sin. 1 Peter 2, 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And when Jesus died on the cross, he shed innocent blood. He was dying in the place of guilty sinners. Did you hear that? Does that mean anything to you? Can you see that he died in your place? Has this become personal? That you can get before him in prayer and say, Lord Jesus, I thank you, you died for me. Not just died in general for everybody. No, he died for me in particular. He was a pure lamb. He is God manifest in the flesh. He's the creator of the universe. Did you know he was not only a sinless lamb, he was a submissive lamb. Did you know that he wasn't forced into this sacrifice? He willingly submitted to everything that he endured. So we dealt last week with the crowns of Christ. We talked a little bit about this. But this is the creator of the universe, and he could have backed away from it. He did this willingly. Did you know that he could have called down 12 legions of angels to deliver him? He could have said, see that Radek? I know what he's going to do. He's going to say he loves me, but yet he's going to, go away, angels, come and rescue me. I'm out of here. Look at that Michael Corcoran. He thinks he's going to heaven. I know what's in his heart. I'm not dying for this punch. He could have said that, but he didn't. By the way, guys, that's nothing personal. He could have said, Miles McKee, you are joking. Angels, get me out of here. I want nothing to do with that character from Makara. Huh? He's the biggest lousy failure of them all. I'm not going to die for him. He could have called 12 legions, more than 12 legions. Did you know how many that is? That's 72,000 angels. That's a lot of people, a lot of angels, not people. Where does it say that? It says that in Matthew 26, verse 53. Thinkest thou not that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? He could just have spoken the word, and his executioners and his accusers would have vanished into nothingness. And everything could have been no more. He could have wrapped it all up. But he didn't. He endured the shame and the pain without uttering a word of complaint. He He submitted to the Father's will and paid the price for sin. He was the submissive lamb. Listen to Isaiah 53 and verse 7. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth, and he has brought us a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Yeah, a submissive lamb, a sinless lamb, spotless lamb. And then he becomes the sacrificed lamb. And all the rest meant nothing unless this part is fulfilled. It means nothing. It wasn't enough for him to be surrendered. It wasn't even enough for him to be sinless. He had to shed his blood because Hebrews 9 verse 22 says, without the shedding of blood there is no remission. Jesus paid the price of his people's sins. Listen, if you've not trusted him, I urge you come to him today by simple faith and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Lord, you died for sinners. Save me. Yeah. And they took him outside the city of Jerusalem. They nailed him to a cross. And there he died for his people. His life ebbed away. The blood was shed. The life was in the blood. You know what it says about Jesus being a propitiation for our sins? Let me tell you what this is, the cross is. It's a giant billboard. Christ was placarded. It's a giant billboard advertising the awesomeness of God. That's what the cross is. That's what the Christ event is. If you want to know God, you go to Christ. He's the mediator. You want to know how awesome God is, you go to Christ. He's the go-between. And so, if the story ended here with Jesus dead on the cross, it would be a sad story, wouldn't it? There'd be no reason to celebrate Christmas. There's no need to come to church if the story's over here. Nice story, great story. But there's nothing to it because it doesn't impact us. There's no salvation if that's the end of the story. There's no hope for souls if that's the end of the story. If he died and that was the end of him, then that's the end of us. But thank God the story doesn't end there. After 3 days being in the tomb, Jesus rose from the dead and he came forth alive. And he's still alive today making intercession for us. Hebrews 7 verse 25. Do you hear what this says? Wherefore, as he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Do you notice how we come to God? It's by him. It's not by the church. It's not by taking sacraments. It's not by getting baptized. It's not by turning over a new leaf. It's not trying your best. We come to God by him. And I want to show you what Mary's little lamb can do today. He has the power to save sinners. Those who are lost in sin still have hope because Jesus still saves sinners. By the way, that's the only people he saves. If you're not saved, it's because you don't know you're a sinner. Because he only saves sinners. And instead of running from him, run to him if you're a sinner. We're all sinners, but some of us are confessed sinners. We've confessed to him. We don't trust ourselves. We don't trust our righteousness. We don't trust our performance. We trust Christ alone. Ah, yes. Jesus, the Lamb of God, Mary's little lamb, cleanses sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. His blood cleanses us from all sin, and we are called to trust in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and him and his sacrifice is the payment for our sins. And Mary's little lamb has not only power to save, Mary's little lamb has power to secure believers. Those who have Mary's little lamb as their savior come to him and they have no fear of ever losing their salvation. He saves us for eternity. That's great news. And if you are saved today, you will always be saved.
John 10, verse 28. He says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, John 10, 28, and I give them eternal life, and they shall perish sometime. What's it say? They shall what? I can't hear you. What is it? You shall always perish. What? You're one step away from perishing. What is it? You shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. 1 Peter, verse 5 of chapter 1. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. He keeps us. I can't keep myself, but He is the keeper. He brings us back. He's the shepherd who causes to always come back. John 6, verse 37. All that the Father give to me, come to me. And he who comes to me, have you come to him? Have you trusted him? Have you believed in him for the saving of your soul? He who comes to me, I will never cast out. Salvation belongs to the Lord. If he saves you, he'll keep you. If you'll come to him, he'll save you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your trust in him. So when we think about Christmas this year, we're going to bring this message to an end. Just keep things in perspective. You know, I know that for many people, Christmas is just a pagan feast. It's a season, Christmas season, a season of commercialism, a world of fantasy. But it doesn't have to be that way for you. Gosh, we're better than that. God sent his Son into the world. We celebrate that. It may not be the exact date, but we celebrate that. So do you know him this morning? Are you trusting in him alone this morning? If not, I challenge you that by simple faith, you bring yourself and you bring your need to the Lord Jesus. He can fix anything that's broken in your life. I'm going to leave you with a story that happened in 1864 at Petersburg, Virginia, in the USA. You know, they had a terrible civil war back then, the North and the South, and the leader of the Southern forces, the Confederate forces, was a man called Robert E. Lee. And in this particular battle, he faced the Union forces, the Northern forces, the Bluecoats, and they were under the command of Ulysses S. Grant, whose parents were Irish, by the way, just to let you know that. And late one evening, one of General Lee's generals, commanders, Major General George Pickett, got news that a son had been born. His wife had given birth to a baby boy. And so word went around the Confederate trenches, and they started lighting fires, put up big bonfires all across the front. Now the Northerners, they were all, say, what's going on here? This is a diversion. And they sent out a scouting party, and you know, to spy it out. And they came back and they reported to General Grant. He said, General Pickett's wife has had a baby boy, and they're celebrating, they're lighting. Well, says Grant, and he knew Pickett well, they'd gone to military academy together, they'd gone to West Point together, and they were friends. They were in different sides, but he ordered that bonfires be lit all up and down their lines. And so here were these bonfires burning north and south, right for miles. And there's not one shot fired, not one insult hurled, not one cannon roars, just fires, light in the dark, to celebrate the birth of a baby boy. Well, unfortunately, it didn't last. The fires went out. The next day, they got on with the war. But the good news of Christmas is that the light has come. I said this at the beginning. In the midst of the great darkness, there came a great light. and the darkness has not been able to overcome the light. Because it was not just a little flicker, it is the eternal flame, it is the light of the world. His name is Jesus, and he's come here, and he commands you to follow him, he urges you to follow him, believe on him, trust on him, and you shall be saved, for he is able to save to the uttermost all who come to God by him. And that's the story of Mary's little lamb. Mary had a little lamb, and that is the gospel truth. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about our ministry, go to milesmckee.com. Our church website is thegracechurch.ie. We'd love to hear from you. Miles's email is miles@thegracechurch.ie. If you'd like to support the work we are doing in Ireland and other parts of the world, you can click on the donate link on milesmckee.com. Don't forget to check out more sermons at sermonaudio.com. Until next time, slán agus beannacht libh. Never have enough. Your perfect peace. Your word of truth.